Yatra, where? Narayana, Lord Narayana. Sakshat, directly. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nyasinam, a person's in the renounced order of life. Gatehi, the ultimate goal. Samstu yate, is worshipped. Satkatasu, by discussing the transcendental vibration. Muktasangahai, by those who are liberated from material contamination. Punapunaha. Again and again. Translation, the Supreme Lord Narayana is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Narayana is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those in the renounced order of life. And Narayana is worshipped through the Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. You can repeat, the Supreme Lord Narayana.
Supreme Lord
is present among devotees,
who are engaged in hearing and chanting
the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Lord Narayana is the ultimate goal of sannyasis.
Lord Narayana is the ultimate goal of sannyasis.
Those in the renounced order of life.
Those in the
renounced
order of life.
And Narayana is worshipped.
And Narayana is worshipped.
Through the Sankirtan movement,
by
those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Mayavadi sannyasis are missing the real presence of Narayana. This is because they falsely claim to be Narayana himself. According to the customary etiquette of Mayavadi sannyasis, they address one another as Narayana. To say that everyone is a temple of Narayana is correct, but to accept another human being as Narayana is a great offense. The conception of the Dharidra Narayana, poor Narayana, an attempt to identify the poor with Narayana is also a great offense. Even to identify Narayana with demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is an offense. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Aditoi Vatahai Samatve Naiva Vikshita Sapashandi Pavet Dhruvam. One who considers Lord Narayana on a level with great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is immediately listed among non-believers. The fact is that by performing Sankirtan Yajna, one can immediately please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Narayana himself descends and immediately is present. In this age of Kali, Narayana is immediately present in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Concerning Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 32 states, Krishnavarnam tvisha krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yagnai sankirtanar prayarayat yashantihi. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. After all, human life is meant for pleasing Narayana, and this can easily be done by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Whenever there is congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Gaura Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, immediately appears and is worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. In this verse, it is said that Narayana is Nyasinam Gutahi, the ultimate goal of the sannyasis. The goal of those who have renounced the material world is the attainment of Narayana. A Vaishnava sannyasi therefore dedicates his life to serving Narayana. He does not falsely claim to be Narayana. Instead of becoming Nirvaira, non-envious of other living entities. One who tries to become Narayana becomes envious of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the attempt to become Narayana constitutes the greatest defense. Actually, when one chants or discusses the transcendental activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes non-envious. In this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy name of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of all other living entities. When we are no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be real peace, unity, and fraternity in human society. Without Narayana or Sankirtan Yajna, there cannot be peace in this material world. Yatra Narayana Sakshat Bhagavan Yasinam Gataki Samstuyate Satkatasu Mukta Sangai Puna Punaha. So Om Gana Timbadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tosmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So it's actually quite interesting how the Lord is referred to by this name Narayana here. Does anyone know what the word Narayana means? No one knows. Narayana. What does Nara mean? That's right. Wow. You got a brilliant scholar there. Narayana. Like the king is called Naradeva. The godly living entity. You understand? Naradeva, Narayana. So he's a resting place of the living entity. So that's specifically in relationship. That word is specifically in relationship to this material world, which is interesting. Because the living entities rest in Narayana when? Nobody knows.
When Lord Vishnu sleeps.
Yeah, that's right. When Lord Vishnu sleeps, the Mahavishnu, he sleeps and he breathes in. He's engaged. What's the name of his sleep? Wow, Chintamani. And I thought you were old. So, Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra means the sleep of connection. Nidra. Nidra Asana means the... Basically, Nidra Asana would be like a bed. Like, Asana means the place where you sit, so Nidra Asana would be your bed. So, Yoga Nidra is the yoga, the sleeping yoga. Of course, the bogey yogis nowadays, they also teach sleeping yoga, but a different type of sleeping yoga, Yoga Nidra. So, anyway, so it's in reference to the Narayana, who basically is the source of this material world. The incarnation of Krishna was the source of the material world. And in one sense, we can say the word or the name of God as Narayana is a secondary name of Krishna. Because it's in relationship to his position, right? Remember, everybody remembers what secondary names and primary names are? Primary name is something... Well, give me a primary name. Govinda. But it's another one. Krishna. No one knows the name Krishna. Krishna, Govinda, Gopal. All these different names are Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Rajendra Nandana, all these are different names of his pastimes. But if you have a name of his position, like another name, of course, a secondary name is Paramatma. That means the supreme soul. It's in reference to us, actually. The word Paramatma is in reference to us, the supreme soul. Then we're the Anuatma, and he's the Paramatma. It was an Anu, where there's small Atma, teeny, teeny Atma, and he's the Paramatma, the transcendental Atma, or the supreme Atma. So, the reason it's mentioned here, Narayana, Because the devotees in this material world, particularly the sannyasis, let's talk about the sannyasis. They are, because that Prabhupada talks about the sannyasis here in the purport, they are concentrated on Narayana because they are understanding the Lord is always protecting one, the Lord is always maintaining one, the Lord is always helping one in this material world, giving one intelligence, forgetfulness, and remembrance according to one's desires, reciprocating with one. So a sannyasi doesn't have, at least traditionally, a sannyasi wouldn't have any observable means of maintenance or sustenance. It's a little bit different than now that you've got Kali Yuga sannyasis, like me. But traditionally, the sannyasis, they would just like travel. It's basically the higher stages of sannyas, like Paravijakacharya, and what to speak of Paramahansa. They would travel anywhere and everywhere, and there was no question of, you know, taking a lot of money or carrying food in their suitcases. You know, of course, like I said, now it's Kali Yuga. Like when I go to India, I carry food in my suitcase for me. You know, make sure there's enough quinoa and enough nuts, because in case there's no food in India, at least edible food in India. You know, so I'm always concerned about food. But traditionally, a sannyasi would be completely dependent on Krishna. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he chanted this this very nice prayer. It's recited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna, 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 hey, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. You know this? Dear Lord, please protect me. Rakshamam. Actually, Rakshamam means to protect me. You understand? Like a Rakshasa is someone who doesn't protect you, who eats you. But Rakshamam means you should protect me. Pahimam, Pahimam, Pahimam. Do you ever hear this in a Hindi film? Pahimam, Pahimam, Pahimam. What does it mean? Actually, Krishna Priya would know. What does Pahimam mean?
Protect me.
Protect me. Save me, right? Save me. Pahi. You hear this in all the Hindi films. You know, when I watch Hindi films. Pahimam, Pahimam. Oh, Lord, Pahimam, Pahimam. You have all the demigods. Isn't it? You see these Hindi films, Krishna Priya? No, you don't watch them. Your husband does. No, he watches other types of films. So, you see, all the demigods approach the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu in the films. No, I'm talking about the Krishna conscious Hindi films. You know, I don't watch Bollywood films, but sometimes I watch the Vishnu Purana just to see what it's like. And they say, Pahimam, Pahimam, Pahimam. You know, save me, protect me. So in other words, when someone takes, Lord Chaitanya shows this example when he took sannyas, you know, Pahimam, Rakshamam. You know, save me, protect me. Well, protect me and save me. So that's why Narayan is referred to as someone who the sannyasis meditate on, because they're actually going into the forest where there's a lot of wild animals and they're dependent on the Supreme Personality of God. And so this is absolute dependence on the Lord to maintain one and protect one is a very important aspect of the sannyas order of life. That's the first point here. That's why the word Narayana is used. The second point is that Prabhupada goes through all the different misunderstandings, of who Narayana is. And first, the first one Prabhupada deals with is the misunderstanding that the Mayavadi sannyasis have. How they say to each other, Om Namo Narayana. In other words, I offer my obeisances to God. You are God. Can you imagine that? The devotees, they come up to each other and say, I offer my obeisances unto you, God. Unto you, God. So, of course, we understand when you offer obeisances, you are offering obeisances to God. That's the super soul in everyone's heart. And you're also offering respect to the devotee who carries the super soul in their hearts. As we go, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namonama. We offer our respects unto all the Vaishnavas, but the Vaishnavas carry Krishna in their hearts. So it's So Prabhupada explained, you're actually offering obeisances to Narayan in the heart of the devotee, or to the Paramatma, or Krishna in the heart of the devotee. So the Mayavadi sannyasis, they say to each other, you are God, because they don't distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma. And as I was telling this story on Sunday, there's a very interesting interlude in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with the Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakasananda Saraswati, and that was in Benares. Benares is actually one of the main headquarters for Mayavadis, Varanasi, Benares. This is an interesting story. Of course, that's Lord Shiva's abode, too. How Lord Shiva was given that abode by the Supreme Personality of God. This is an interesting story in the Puranas about that, which I won't tell. So anyway, also in Benares is where the cremations are done generally. Like if you die somewhere in India, they take you to the bank of the Ganges in Benares, and there's all these cremation ghats there. So anyway, apart from that, it's a place for Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya, when he visited Benares, he was staying with Chandrasekhara, and also another great devotee of his was named Tapan Mishra. They were both there in Benares. Lord Chaitanya had sent them there. It's interesting. Just a little interesting information from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They were originally residents of Bengal, and Lord Chaitanya sent them to Benares so that he would have somewhere to stay when he went to Benares. Because everyone in Benares, practically speaking, is a impersonalist or Mayavadi. So Lord Chaitanya would not stay or eat food in a place where there were Mayavadis or impersonalists. Because for a Mayavadi, for a devotee, a Mayavadi is just like someone you really have to avoid. He's an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya sent Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhara there, and he was residing in Chandrasekhara, and also Tapan Mishra was there too. And Lord Chaitanya avoided the association of these Mayavadis, and the Mayavadis were a little perplexed. You know, why is this person who is situated in our Shankara Sampradaya. Actually, he was a sannyasi, a disciple of Keshava Bharati. The Keshava Bharati, that's another interesting story. The Keshava Bharati ostensibly was in the sannyas order, the Shankaracharya sannyas order. Shankaracharya, of course, is the original Mayavadi. He was Lord Shiva who came to teach Mayavadi philosophy, to bring people to the Vedic literatures. So, it's interesting that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he actually initiated his spiritual master, Keshava Bharati, in the sannyas order before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from his guru. And I'll explain what I mean by that. That Keshava Bharati, Keshava Bharati had the sannyas mantra. There's a specific mantra that's given to sannyasis, and I won't give it to you because we don't want any more sannyasis, bogus sannyasis running around. So anyway, so before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he said to Keshava Bharati, last night I had a dream, and in that dream, you were giving me this mantra, the sannyas mantra. And can I whisper it in your ear, Keshava Bharati, just to see if it's correct? So Lord Chaitanya whispered the sannyas mantra in the ear of Keshava Bharati. And that way he initiated Keshava Bharati as a bona fide Vaishnava sannyasi. So you see, Lord Chaitanya actually didn't take sannyas in an impersonal way, or even hearing a mantra that was given through the Shankara Sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas hearing the mantra that he previously gave to his guru. It's interesting how the disciple initiates the guru before the guru initiates the disciple. But that happened in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Keshava Bharati recited the same mantra that he had heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the ear of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had recited that mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati. And therefore, the Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. And as we mentioned before, the Lord Chaitanya was chanting this mantra Krishna, 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 hey, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rachamam, etc., which I explained before. So when Lord Chaitanya went to Benares, he just wanted to be with the devotees. And he avoided, even though we got so many invitations by the Mayavadis, he avoided the Mayavadis because the Mayavadis would just generally read Vedanta. And there's nothing wrong with reading Vedanta. As I explained Sunday, Vedanta, the Vedanta Sutra is a commentary on the Upanishads. Each sutra relates to specific Upanishads. And it's compiled by Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Nothing wrong with it. And it's called sutra, sutras, because sutra means a very short statement it actually means a thread, sutra. Like Krishna uses that word in the Gita, sutra mani gana eva, that everything rests upon Krishna, just like pearls are strung on a thread. So that's the same word Krishna uses. So sutra means like a thread, but in this particular context, sutra means like a short statement that is given to someone with the assumption that they know how to unpack it. Just like you have in computers, you have zip files, right? Does everyone know what a zip file is? You zip something up. It's not like a zipper on your shirt or something like that. That means you compress it and you put it into one little file. You can put hundreds of things into one file. That's like a sutra. So a sutra means you say something and someone will unpack it. Like if I say to you, chant the holy names, that's like a sutra because I don't... Because you're devotees, you'll unpack it naturally. You understand that means pick up your japa beads and start chanting. I don't have to tell you, use your fingers, use this finger, that finger, stick this finger out of the japa bag, right? I don't have to tell you all that stuff, right? Maybe I do. But anyway, I don't have to tell you, just hold your japa bag like this. Just use these fingers right here. Don't use that finger. And you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, etc. Because you understand that already. You're more intelligent. At least, hopefully, you're more intelligent. So that's the type of sutra. Chant the holy names. I don't have to tell you how to do it because you're trained up. So the Vedanta Sutra is something like that. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That's how it starts. Atato Brahma Jigyasa means now is the time to look for the absolute truth. So if you're intelligent, you'll know where to look for the absolute truth. But if I just say now is the time to look for the absolute truth, yet that's a bewildering statement. And you'll think, where should I look for the absolute truth? Should I look in this room, that room? Should I look on the TV? Where should I look for the absolute truth? So it requires some previous training and intelligence. And then a janma jasya yataha, the same thing as mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is that from which everything comes, which is true. I mean, these are all true statements in Vedanta. So let me go back to the point about Lord Chaitanya and the Mayavadis. There's nothing wrong with the Vedanta. However, Shankaracharya gave the wrong, indirect interpretation of the Vedanta. That was Lord Chaitanya's commentary. That Shankaracharya gave sort of like a metaphorical or an allegorical interpretation of many of the verses in the Vedanta. Whereas the rule for Vedic interpretation is that metaphors and analogies, or the metaphorical and analogical interpretation, are not to be used when the direct meaning makes sense. So, anyway, so they were doing this. They were just doing this because that was their tradition. Not that they actually believed it in a real sense. It was just they had to follow your tradition. Just like if you work for Microsoft, you have to follow the Microsoft tradition. So if you work for the Mayavadis, you've got to follow the Mayavadi tradition. So they didn't want to meet with Lord Chaitanya. They did want to meet with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya didn't want to meet with them. And finally, because they were committing offenses against Lord Chaitanya, they were saying, why is this sannyasi dancing and chanting and doing things that is prohibited for sannyasis to do? Sannyasis should behave themselves and just study Vedanta all day long, especially Sarira Rakya Bhasha, the commentary of Shripad Shankaracharya. Then Lord Chaitanya was impelled to actually speak to them because his devotees were upset that they were committing offenses against Lord Chaitanya. So they went to Lord Chaitanya and said, these guys are committing offenses. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, I guess I got to meet with them. So we went to, at the same time, right after that, a Brahmin came and invited him to lunch, and invited him to lunch with all the other Mayavadi sannyasis. So Krishna arranged, or Lord Chaitanya arranged, that it worked out so that that day he went to the assembly where Prakashananda Saraswati was and all the other Mayavadi sannyasis to take lunch. And we know that he sat down in the place where people washed their feet. And in the Indian culture, the feet are not considered the cleanest part of the body. In fact, they're considered the dirtiest part of the body. In the West, I mean, we do everything with our feet. We move, like Prabhupada said, you shouldn't even move furniture around with your feet. What to speak of touch someone with your foot, right? Or even step over someone. That's actually an offense, to step over someone. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time was taking rest, and generally when he took rest, right when he went to take rest, his devotee, his servant Govinda, would massage Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this time, Lord Chaitanya sort of lay in the doorway, so Govinda couldn't get into the room or into the proper position to massage Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what happened is that Govinda was thinking, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And then Govinda put a cloth over Lord Chaitanya, stepped over Lord Chaitanya, and massaged Lord Chaitanya. But he remained in the room. He didn't leave the room because he didn't want to commit the offense of stepping over Lord Chaitanya for his own sense gratification. But for serving Lord Chaitanya, he took that chance of stepping over Lord Chaitanya. In fact, so that's the point. I mean, the feet are considered, or stepping over someone with your feet, or touching someone with your feet, or touching a chair with your feet, other than, of course, I'm touching this chair with my feet, but I'm sitting on it. It's considered an offense. So, getting back to the point. So Lord Chaitanya sat in the place where the Mayavadi sannyasis washed their feet. You know, all the water was there from the foot washing water. And they were surprised to see Lord Chaitanya sitting there, particularly since Lord Chaitanya exhibited an effulgence 10,000 times greater or brighter than the sunshine. And they thought, oh, this sannyasi has realized he's Narayan. You know, of course, they were half right. The sannyasi is Narayan, not that he realized he was Narayan. So they began to respect him because, oh, he's gotten the ultimate realization. You know, wow, he's made it. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, it's not a question he made it, he was it. So they rendered the service of taking him by the hand and putting him in the assembly, and they had some discussion about Vedanta. Lord Chaitanya, of course, first said, when he was asked by the sannyasis, why don't you study Vedanta? Lord Chaitanya first said, my spiritual master called me a fool, told me just to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. And now I've achieved ecstasy, and my spiritual master was very pleased. There's more to the story, but I don't have time, because it's a very short time in the morning. And then he actually began to talk about Vedanta with the sannyasis, and he defeated them. And the sannyasis basically admitted, actually, the only reason we accept this philosophy is just, you know, that's basically our tradition in the Shankara Sampradaya. But really, it doesn't make any sense. And it's a fact. I mean, there's so many logical fallacies in the impersonal philosophy. Hmm. But in India, generally, you'll find the sannyasis, they're, you know, Mayavadis like that. And particularly the Shaivite sannyasis, especially the Nagababas and other people like that, they're Mayavadis. I mean, they may have some mystic powers, certainly they do. I mean, there's a story in Radhanath Maharaj's book, Journey Home, about how he was with some Nagababas and they were floating in the air. You remember that? So that doesn't mean they become God. I mean, I float in the air all the time. You know, every few weeks I take an airplane, you know, and I float all the way from here to India, here to Europe. You know, it's easier than performing mystic yoga, isn't it? Just take your credit card out and you can float in the air. Just use a little piece of plastic. It's magic. I use a little piece of plastic and I have the facility of floating in the air from one place to another, not just floating in the air a little bit for a few seconds. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, generally these sannyasis are Mayavadi. So that's one misunderstanding of Narayana that is presented. Another one that Prabhupada presents here is a, one that Prabhupada presents quite often is the conception of Daridra Narayana. And that comes, actually comes from Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi had this conception that, you know, the Daridra Narayana, the poor, in other words, if you serve the poor, you're serving Narayana, right? That was the conception. Prabhupada often criticizes that conception. And Prabhupada said, what about Dani Narayan? You understand? You know what Dani Narayan means? What does Dani Narayan mean? Krishna Priya.
Dani who donates.
Yeah, Dani means rich. Like Prabhupada took it as rich Narayan. He said, why just Daridra Narayan? Why not Dani Narayan? Why not the rich Narayan and the poor? Why only the poor people Narayan? Does that mean if you have a lot of money, you're no longer Narayan? So, you know, Prabhupada really didn't like that statement of Daridra Narayan. He Prabhupada says here is an attempt to identify the poor with Narayan, which is also a great offense. In other words, it's not that by serving the poor that you're serving directly Narayan. And this is also a very important point for us, that's why we don't engage in mundane welfare activities or charity. I mean, certainly we can serve the poor prasadam. We also serve the rich prasadam. It's not that we have a rule here that, you know, of course we help with the soup kitchens and everything, but it's not that we have a rule that you have to be very poor to eat prasadam here. You know, there's a lot of rich people who come to eat too, but it's free. So we don't make that distinction. We don't distinguish. Like Prabhupada said, when you're distributing food, you should let everybody take prasadam. It's not that you just like restrict it to the poor people. So there can be distribution of prasadam to people who are suffering. There's no problem with that. Like our Food for Life program, we've done it in Haiti, we do it in India, so many places where they've had natural occurrences. I mean, that distributes prasadam. We're distributing prasadam everywhere. But now with the misconception that by serving the poor, you're serving Narayan. So that's another misconception which Prabhupada addresses here. And the final one which Prabhupada addresses is that thinks that the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the other demigods are the same as Narayana. And that's a typical Hindu thing too, that when people go into the Hindu center, they generally say the gods. You ever hear about that before? The gods. You know, and yeah, even they sometimes come to the temple and say, the gods here. It's not the gods, it's Krishna's God. So that's, you know, it's somewhat like the Greek mythology, you know, where you have Zeus and you have all these other interesting Heracles is the way you pronounce it. So that we have all these characters and, you know, it's just really messy. But there's one God, Ekali Ishvara Krishna Arastabda Vritya. There's one supreme Ishvara, Paramishvara, as described in the Brahma Samhita too. Ishvara Paramat Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So that's the third type of offense that Prabhupada is listing here. And when people consider Narayan to be the same as the other demigods. And so as finally Prabhupada says, we worship Narayan by chanting his holy names, and of course we worship Gaura Narayan, that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we chant his holy names, and if we chant his holy names properly, enviousness goes away. Now we may say, sometimes we see people chanting for many, many years. Why hasn't enviousness gone away? Because they're chanting with offenses. When you're chanting with offenses, the weeds grow at the same time as the bhakti lata bij grows. The weeds of enviousness, the weeds of greed, the weeds of lust, the weeds of anger, the anarthas. So we have to be very, very careful. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared himself to a gardener. And we have to be like gardeners too. To quickly uproot these weeds and be attentive when we're chanting the holy name. Chant with the right mood. Serve the Vaishnavas. And then enviousness will go away. We'll experience that. If you're still feeling envious towards any living entity, even a living entity who attacks you, if you're feeling angry with that living entity, that means you're not chanting properly, or you have to increase the quality of your chanting. And the symptom of your making spiritual advancement is you're feeling angry with other living entities. You should be introspective.